reading this morning comes from Luke
chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will trust you with property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." These are our scripture readings for today. Thanks be to God. As I thought about the scriptures today, I kept going back to Jeremiah. And the one particular thing that stood out to me was, "My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick." And as the events of the past few weeks have unfolded, I could picture the people in the Bahamas feeling that same way, feeling that deep hopelessness. When we see the pictures on TV of the total destruction, nothing. I mean, as they showed it, I mean, just totally gone. Here and there, you might see a wall standing, but for the most part, everything was destroyed. And I remembered an interview that was also done. The reporter was talking to a young man, and tears were streaming down his cheeks as he told the reporter that throughout the night he had tried to help keep his little 5-year-old son afloat and alive. And at one point he noticed the shape of a fin swimming near them. He was able to get his son onto a roof. And the young man had broken his leg, and as he was struggling to get himself onto the roof, a strong gust of wind took his son, and he was not able to find him. And I wondered if at that point He called out in the despair and the hopelessness that Jeremiah talks of this morning. If he called out and said, God, where are you? Why didn't you hold my son onto that roof? I also thought of Syria. The news seems to have put Syria and its troubles away. But I can still remember the pictures of the devastation of the buildings that had been bombed and were shown in just crumbles of rubble, of the children and the people who were being carried to stretchers and to taken to hospitals. And I thought, is that what Jerusalem looked like after Nebuchadnezzar got done with it? Was it left in the total rubble? We know it was destroyed. The walls were knocked down. Even the temple was demolished. Did the people of Syria, do the people of Syria, especially those who have fled, did they feel that same hopelessness? Were their hearts sick with the thought that they maybe never could go back? And then I thought about us. I thought about now. Every day when you read the newspaper or you look in, watch the news, we hear of murders. We hear of kidnappings. We hear of arson. We see people fighting just for the sake of fighting. And you have to wonder, are any of them feeling the same way? What about in us personally? Have we had times in our lives when we wondered, God, where are you? Has the hopelessness been so strong that we wondered where that balm was that they talk of in Gilead? I think we can maybe understand why Jeremiah called out. All right, you're going to give me trouble, aren't you, again? But then I thought, what if that wasn't really Jeremiah talking? I'm sure Jeremiah felt the hopelessness. But Jeremiah was a prophet. What if that was God speaking through Jeremiah? What if that was God sharing his grief, his pain, his loss of joy at the punishment that had been dealt to his children? As parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, how do we feel when we have to punish a child? It's not easy, is it? I've often heard parents say it's harder on them than it is on the child. And you guys, you don't get to take advantage of that. I know when I was growing up, the worst thing my parents could do to me was put me in time out. Because all of my other siblings and my friends would be still outside playing. And for whatever time they used, it was a killer. Did it make me behave? Probably for the next couple of days. All right.
there.
You may have to turn me up a little bit. But my parents did what they did because they loved me. They didn't take joy in punishing me. God didn't take joy in punishing the children of Israel. It caused him pain, it caused him grief. But he had warned them many times. And in Deuteronomy, it says, "Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations from one end of the earth to the other." There's quite a few books in between Deuteronomy and Jeremiah. They had been warned repeatedly. And how many of us say, if I tell you one more time, and that's after like maybe two warnings. When we read the Old Testament, I think often we feel he was a harsh God. Some of the things that he did. As a kid, I thought my parents were terrible when they punished me. Especially when you get to be a teenager and you're grounded and you don't get to go out Friday night or Saturday night. Your parents are horrible. But they loved you. Just like God does. And sometimes when in our own personal lives, when we feel God is punishing us, when we are like Jeremiah and saying, "God, where are you? Why aren't you with me? Why are you letting this happen?" Maybe it's at that point we need to stop and remember God loves us. He hasn't gone anywhere. He is with us. Just like he was with the Israelites in their 70 years of exile. But Jeremiah wasn't all gloom and doom. In chapter 29, Jeremiah prophesied, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. In time, the Bahamas will be rebuilt. In time, Syria will be rebuilt. Will it look the same? No, probably not. In the Bahamas, they will build stronger buildings. They may put up walls to help deflect the water from coming in over the island. In Syria, in time, hopefully peace will reign and they'll be able to rebuild their city." God never leaves us without hope for the future. No matter how bad our circumstances may seem, we know that he is with us and he will help us to a better future. And we always have the promise of eternal life with him, of that room in the mansion, and of meeting Jesus face to face. Our hope. Amen.
Amen.